I am Pierre Lumumba here at the Manzoni Wildlife Estate in Machakos County in our Republic of Kenya in the continent of Africa. And we are discussing Africa and discussing today a subject that is as ancient as it is evergreen. And we are using the English language, therefore we'll use the word that they have used in reference to African communities, tribe and tribalism. Perhaps it is important to say that the word tribe has been used in different contexts. When the colonialists, particularly the British, came, they used the word tribe to refer to communities which in their view were inferior, as opposed to them that they called nations. And this gave birth to the whole concept of tribe and tribalism. It must also be understood in that context that even the languages of the tribes speaking English were referred to as vernacular, which meant languages that were not sophisticated. But I'm going to use the word tribe as if it were a synonym of the word nation. And understood in that context, tribe or tribalism is something that is very contentious. Africa is the most diverse of all continents, for good reason. It is the cradle of mankind, and estimates differ, but it is accepted that there are no less than 6,000 nationalities and languages with different dialects of almost the same number. And each of these nationalities, to their credit, had their own unique methods and systems of governance and their different ways of conducting their affairs, which is ordinarily referred to as their culture and their tradition. And these traditions governed every aspect of their lives, whether it was the question of how people are named, how they worship their god or gods, how they farm, how they marry, how they punish errant members within the societies. These all culminated in the creation of cultures, with the consequence that if you look at the continent of Africa, you'll find different and varied means and ways of how people conduct themselves. And tribes are innocent. They constitute a mosaic, which is what presents Africa's diversity as unique and admirable. It doesn't mean that there was never conflict amongst African tribes. No, there was. Yes, there was. There was conflict, and we know, for example, that there were intertribal wars where people were competing for resources such as water. People were raiding different ethnicities for purposes of taking away their cattle, and people were also raiding different tribes for purposes of capturing their women for marriage. This existed in the continent of Africa. There were also empires that were conquering others. We will remember the conquest of people like Shaka the Amazulu and Isimfetane. We'll remember the exploits of individuals such as Sundiata Keita, the epic of Mali. We'll remember the exploits of people like Queen Nzinga of the Dongo and the Matamba. All these existed. But when slavery started in earnest, slavery started to pronounce these differences, because the slave trader now encouraged the indigenous to capture their very own for purposes of being used as commodities. And subsequently, colonization came, and the colonizers also took this as a way of dividing and ruling. The British were perfect at this. They came and they divided people, and even their historian and their other professionals, even the missionaries, the zoologists, the ethnologists started categorizing Africans as Bantus, Nilots, Lake Nilots, Island Nilots, and all these categorizations, Cushites, Hamites, Nilo-Hamites, and all these was done with the intention of creating division for purposes of control. This being the case, tribalism has acquired different characters, and indeed, when the continent of Africa was partitioned in the year 1884 and 1885, instead of looking at the continent of Africa as a continent of nations, the European power simply drew lines. And these lines meant, for example, that in what is present-day Kenya, you have communities, the Maasai, who are to be found in what is present-day Tanzania and Kenya. You have the Oromo, who are to be found in Ethiopia and in Kenya. You have the Somalis in different nations. You have the Ndebele, who are in Zimbabwe and are also in South Africa. You have all these peoples who are found in different areas, now gridlocked in what are called countries. You find the Dinka, the Nuer, you find the Shilluk, and all these are found. And tribalism in the contemporary Africa has become the breeding ground of conflict. So that when we look at many of the conflicts that have taken place in the continent of Africa in the last one century, they have been conflicts that have been brought about because of the seed that was planted by the colonialists. Let us look, for example, at the country that we now call Rwanda and Burundi, which at one time was controlled by the Germans and later by the Belgians as Rwanda-Urundi. It is the Belgians who came and said that there are people called the Hutu and the Tutsi, and that the Tutsi have longer noses and that the Hutu are shorter and shorter noses. And as a result of this, we have seen the genocide first in 1959 and, of course, in 1994 when there was the mass massacre of the Tutsis and moderate Hutus as a result of tribalism. We have seen in the Democratic Republic of Congo the expulsion of the peoples of Tutsi origin who are called the Banyamulenge. And the reason why they are being expelled is because they are told, you do not belong here. We have seen in South Africa the conflict that has existed, particularly in the area in Zimbabwe, where you had the problem between the Ndebele and the Shona, which was also a manufactured conflict. We have seen the kind of conflict that was even manufactured during the apartheid regime, when the apartheid tried to draw a wedge between the Zulus and the Xhosa and other ethnicities. We have seen it in Kenya, where country nearly descended into civil war in the year 2007 and much earlier in 1969. When the Agikoyo and the Luos and later even the Kalenjin were involved in what was ethnic struggle for political power. We see in southern Sudan when there is a conflict between the Dinka and the Nuer. We see in Sudan as we speak now in the year 2026 when there is a conflict and people are being pitted one against one another, either because they are the Fur or the Darfur and the Arabs or the blacks who have been Arabized. We have seen it in the Arab world when people are being told you are not Arabs, you are Berbers. We have seen in Nigeria where conflict is undertaken on the ground that others are Igbo and Yoruba and others are Hausa and Fulani. We have seen in Ethiopia where conflicts are fought on the basis that people are Amhara, Tigrinya or Tigre or Oromo. Or we have seen in Somalia on the basis of clans where people fight because they are from different clans. So tribalism has become the breeding ground of conflict in Africa. Tribalism has become The single thing that politicians who want to lead their countries through shortcut to chaos use. And it is for this reason that Samora Moises Machel said famously that for the modern African state to thrive, the tribe must die. And that statement must always be understood in the context that the tribe is innocent. It is tribalism. That is to mean the use of ethnic affiliation as a basis for discrimination and negative mobilization that is the thing to be attacked. A Kenyan called Koigi Wa Wamwere has written a book towards genocide in Kenya, the curse of negative ethnicity, which is the same as negative tribalism, in which he says that that is the problem that you encounter in the event that you embrace tribalism. Julius Kambarage Nyerere of Tanzania, who is credited as one of the very few leaders ever to have succeeded in finding a country with over 126 ethnicities and forging a nation called Tanzania, once said that the only value of tribal affiliation is for cultural celebration, and that it is improper in the 21st century that decisions should be made by people on the basis of one's tribe. And he posed the question, whenever you are boarding a plane, do you ask the tribe of the pilot? When you are looking for a doctor, do you ask for the tribe of the doctor? When you are looking for a teacher, do you ask for the tribe of the teacher? You don't, because it doesn't matter. And he gave meaning to that statement that we all belong to one race, as Robert Sobukwe once said, we belong to the human race. But tribalism is now the single thing that threatens the continent of Africa. Almost all conflicts that are brewing in Africa are based on tribalism and the belief that people are being discriminated because of their tribal affiliation, the belief that people are being exploited because of their tribal affiliation, the belief by some that others are being favored because they belong to different tribes, particularly the tribes that enjoy political power and dominance. And going forward, the single thing that Africa must deal with is to exorcise the macabre dance that is being performed by the gods of tribalism, because that dance is dangerous. It is a dance that leads to civil wars. It is a dance that leads to massacres. It is a dance that leads to genocides. It is a dance for which drums ought not to be played. But Africa must be proud of the tribes, because cultural diversity, if used properly, is a positive thing. And if indeed our diversity is our strength and we use it positively, then Africa can be the great continent that it once was and should be. That is why the tribe can be celebrated, should be celebrated, but tribalism must be condemned and consigned to the museum of history alongside the spinning wheel. Thank you very much. Today we have tackled the subject of tribalism or ethnicity. It is a problem in the continent of Africa, and to confront it is the beginning of liberating ourselves from its invisible chains. We'll come again as we continue our conversations around and about the continent of Africa. See you again.